Morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to the Dispensational Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible, Bible's on the way, and we are excited for another day of grace. We are excited that you are here with us live, and also the ones that's tuning in through our YouTube channel or our internet ministries. Before we start in lesson 5, we're going to sing, Are You Washed in the Blood this morning? We're going to sing, get your red book. We turn to page 208, and the choir did not show up again this week, but we're glad the pianist did, so y'all going to have to sing loud. We're going to sing 1, 2, and 4.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you truly trusted in His grace, His Son? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
Number 2.
Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Lay aside the garments that are stained with sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Are we washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
I have to ask, are you?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. You know, if you notice the first 3 verses in that, they're question marks after every one of them. Then you get to number 4, it says, and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And there's a fountain flowing for the souls unclean and be washed in the blood of the Lamb. So it's only the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses us. You know that, don't you? Mm-hmm. And there's nothing you and I can do. There's nothing you and I can say. We can never, ever be good enough to get in the presence of God Almighty. And that's what religion does. Religion says, hey, you got to do this, you got to do that. And many of us have tried that, right?
Yeah.
What did it do?
Nothing. Left you with a lot of questions.
Left you on a treadmill that you're working on, and you got to do it, got to do it. And guess what? You just give up and you say, I'm better off doing whatever I was doing.
Yeah, I can't do it.
So let's think about that when we're just thinking about ourselves sometimes. Like, Lord, what can I do? And what does He say? Put your faith in me. Let me do it. We're in lesson, Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. We're actually in lesson 5. We're moving right along. Maybe this time in 3 years we'll get through the first 11 chapters. Just joking, guys. Maybe you don't think I'm joking.
Right.
We've taken years to get some things. But you know something? We're enjoying it. We're just starting it, and so far that we're looking at some things. Last lesson, we talked about the evolutionists and the creationists and the deep and the third heaven, and we left off with the sea of glass. And there's a throne where God the Father is sitting on it, and the living creatures and the elders are around it. And it is sitting on a sea of glass, and it's sitting on the face of the deep that is frozen, where God lives in the third heaven. So that's where we left off last week, talking about that. Below the third heaven, it's called the deep. Now, we don't have a whiteboard up there, but I just want you to visualize something that if you took your book shaped like this and you made a square, a rectangle like this, this up here atop is the sea of glass. It's frozen. Above it is where God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is. And there's something that's really interesting in the fact that before the foundations of the world, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit talked about this time over here. We saw that in Titus where he said, before the foundations, this body of Christ was thought of. That's very, very interesting. Then you go to Genesis 1-2, where we was leaving off, but we went down. What I want to share with the deep is God started separating. There's water here. There's water in the whole universe, okay, at this time. Genesis chapter 1, verse 6. And God said, this is the next day after what we was talking about. And God said, let there be a firmament in the, I may be pronouncing that wrong, firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from what? The waters. What is a firmament? What is it? That's where we're going to get to. But the word firmament in Hebrew means expansion. And it's a big open space. And it's a big open space in waters. And you get this from the verse. Now, the face of the deep. The deep is darkness and waters, that what we looked at before. The firmament. And then the deep again. That's what I want you to think about, three compartments in that rectangle. Verse 7. And God made the firmament and divided the waters which were, notice, under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament what?
Heaven.
Heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. There's a lot of things that took place when that happened that you do not read in Genesis. You have to go to the other verses. We have the day. We have the third heaven. The next day, he divided the waters from the waters. He makes an open space. And there is water up there and water down there. And in the open space in the middle that God says, we will call it what? Heaven. Got it? And there will be that will be the second heaven. That's where the starry heavens are, nebula, stars, galaxies, and planets are. And how do you know that? Do you take man's word for it? Or are we going to take God's word for it?
God's word.
How do you know that's what that is, that second heaven, that the firmament is?
The Bible says so.
Look at verse 14. Same chapter, verse 14. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also to rule the night. That's what about made them. And God said, and God set them in the firmament of heaven to give light upon the earth. What is the greater light in this situation?
Sun.
The sun, yep. Now we know the light was different in Genesis 1-2, okay? That's God light. The earth is in the firmament as well. There is also the sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the galaxies. That is what is in the firmament. The creation scientist tells you that the firmament is in the atmosphere over the earth, and there's water up there yonder in the sky above the atmosphere about 300 miles. And then there's water on the earth, and the firmament in the atmosphere between and the time of Noah's flood, that's the water that fell down and to flood the earth. Many people believe that. Many people says that be true. But that's not what the verse says. So there's the theories out there puts out, denies the verse in the Bible. It ignores them. So it is not true when we talk about creation scientists, that type of thing. Everybody wants a go. Everybody's got a book to sell. You ever notice that? Everybody's got a movie to push out and stuff. We have to be Bible believers. And we have to believe what God says, and that's true. What we are talking about now, astronomy knows nothing about. Astronomers of this world, as they look out there in their telescopes, do not know anything about the water up there. There are a lot of things that they don't know. There's a lot of things I don't know. There's a lot of things you don't know. I just have to believe what God says. And you say all you want to the Bible. People, well, let's put it this way. People say that the Bible's not a scientific book. You can't use the Bible scientifically. And you can. I think we agree with that. But it is the Word of God, and you have to have faith to believe it and to accept it, and it will amaze us. The Word of God will. Now, you probably read some things and believe some things in the Bible now that just really knocked your socks off, like, wow, where has that verse been? That type of thing. You believe your Bible. And so now you have a firmament between the water in which the second heaven. Go to Psalm, hold your fingers in Genesis, go to Psalms chapter 104. You know, a lot of people put emphasis on what man scientist says up there. You know, you hear people talk about all the time, there's other galaxies out there. There's got to be other people in this world. You know, we're going to see some things in God's Word that either you believe it or you don't. And
I see an interesting thing. This morning on my phone, I was looking up Polaris, the North Star. We see it as one star, but the big telescopes see three stars that make the one light. Mm. Interesting trinity.
Mm. Well, that's man's looking through that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Psalms 104, verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth? 104, verse Psalms 104, verse 5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Thou coverest it with the deep as a garment. He laid the waters out on it. And the waters stood above the mountains. At thy rebuke they fled. At the voice of thy thunder thou hastenest away. You know what that means? They got divided. Psalms 148. Psalms 148, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the what? Heavens. Here there is a firmament, which is heaven, and there are waters above the heaven. And some will say the waters above the heavens are clouds. Let's read on. Verse 7. Same chapter, verse 7. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps. Verse 8. Fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind fulfilling his word. What's a cloud made of?
Water vapor.
It's water vapor, isn't it? Where is the water vapor found in verse 8? You see it?
It says vapors.
Verse 7 says it's where? On the earth, from the earth. You with me?
Yeah.
Where is the water above the heavens in verse 4? Get you thinking this morning. Huh?
But that's the second heaven, huh?
He's talking about praising from heavens in verse 1 through 6. Then in verse 7 and following, praise him from the earth.
Mm-hmm.
That's what's very, very important when people see David writing things. There's some things David writes, he's looking up doing this. And there's some things David writes that God's telling him to look like this. So you have to figure out where he's looking at in his writings. That's why when, you know, we got brothers that believe in a flat earth. We got brothers that believe in a circular earth. We got brothers, you know, to me, that's not a doctrinal division. Because one, if you're looking down, it looks flat. Two, if you're looking up and see another thing, it looks round. You ever look through a square telescope?
Square one?
What do you think that? What would you think the moon would look like if you looked through a square? Square?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, that type of thing. But anyway, let's move on. When God wanted to say clouds and vapors, he could say what?
Clouds and vapors.
Clouds or vapor, right? And he knew the scientific definition of this. God knows that. But you've got a constant badgering about the Word of God that takes from the world and people that ought to be its friends. And what I'm getting at is saying the world will take the Word and just beat this Bible all to pieces. See, it's this and that. You know that. There's schools out there teaching that stuff today. I'm thankful for the ones that don't. You know, we should support them. But the thing is, there's people, when God wants to talk about clouds, he says clouds. The people that says that's clouds up there, God called it what? What did we read?
Firmament.
Firmament, or what makes a cloud?
Water.
What?
Vapor.
He calls it a vapor. Psalms 136. Psalms 136. Psalms 136, verse 5. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. Verse 6. To him that stretcheth out the earth above the waters, his mercy endureth forever. He says there are waters above the earth and waters below the earth. The earth is in the firmament, the second heaven, right in the middle. He says, the earth is my what?
Footstool.
So if the earth is his footstool, where's God at?
He's above.
Okay. Do you set a footstool over here on the right-hand side of you?
No.
When you're watching that one-eyed monster, and your footstool's right in front of you, you don't move it over here because you'd be like this. You know, that's hard to read, so you put the footstool right in front of you. Okay, God put the earth right out in the middle of that stuff. That's his prize, I want to think, because you're going to see some things going on out there in the world that they say otherwise. And he says it is that way all the way through the Word of God. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. The heavens and the firmament are identical. And the firmament is the universe. So you can't find the word universe in the Bible. You know that, don't you? Religion uses the word universe, but we understand what it is. We just call it what it is. When you come down through the third heaven to the earth in the universe, you're coming down under the water. You're coming off that third river and you're coming down under that water. And they are doors, passages, In the face of deep. You ever notice when they used to shoot off the Apollo missions and the moon missions and stuff? They had to hit a window. You remember that? If they missed that window, they couldn't get out. They always called it a window. Like if they miss it, they got to wait around this type of thing. I do know that. Space, the final frontier. Now, just open. But you know how where the space lab and how far it is above the Earth?
3 miles.
3 miles, a little bit further. 3 hours. How far can you travel in 3 hours?
That's how fast you're going.
Well, true. It's 100, they're 150 miles above, 100, between 150 to 200 miles above the Earth. They call that what? Space. They're out there, you know what I'm getting at? They're docked out millions of miles away. I just want to share that with you about the windows and stuff, so they have to hit that to get there. He comes down through the deep, and the deep is a veil that separates the Holy of Holies. Now remember the tabernacle that we mentioned about. What's the shape of the tabernacle? It's not an octagon. No. It's not round. It's not a triangle. It's what?
A rectangle.
A rectangle. And that's the model of the universe. That's why I mentioned this book. It's a rectangle. Okay, it's not a square, it's a rectangle. The heavens, the earth is a pattern after the heavens. So when they made the tabernacle, it's exactly what's up in the heavens, in the universe. And you'll see that later beneath the deep, that the below the firmament is the blazing altar. Then the deep below the firmament is the laving, the washing. And the firmament is the holy place, where the showbread and the word of God and the lamp, that the light are. Then you go through the veil, the holies of holies, into the presence of God in the third heaven. Parallels between the tabernacle and the universe is unmistakable. You know, God uses patterns. Many of you know what a pattern is, right? You ever thought about you just got on there and started doing something, whatever you wanted to do, and what it looked like after that? I have. You know, and it's very, very interesting that when God told Paul, Paul said he's a pattern for those who hereafter believe in him. We have a pattern today. God made a pattern for the universe all through the Bible. Israel used that pattern forever. Let me ask you this. Let me turn it back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 8. How long was that tabernacle? What was that tabernacle made out of in the wilderness? You remember?
Ringlets and all kinds of stuff.
But what was it made out of, the outside?
Oh, the main tabernacle?
Skins. It never did wear out. That tabernacle, 500 years they used it?
Say it was seal skins. Where they got the seals? Yeah. And go to the Mediterranean somewhere.
You think about that. That body, that tabernacle, made with skins, and God Almighty was living that tap right in the middle of that. And when they broke it down and moved it, they moved it in an order that it never did what? Wear out. Think about your own body. You have God Almighty living inside of you right today. How's your body holding up?
Not too good.
But we get a glorified body. That's a great thing. Yeah. But the thing is, as long as you're on this earth, you should be taking care of your tabernacle. Mm-hmm. You really should. Verse 8. That's my fitness thing today, so no, I'm not going to do burpees or push-ups or nothing like that today. But anyway, hey, at any given time, something can happen to us. Mm-hmm. You can walk out of here and slip. You can have an aneurysm. You can get choked. You know, that type of thing. Don't waste a minute as far as knowing who you are in Christ. That's what I'm trying to get at. You are who you are in Christ, and every minute counts. Verse 8. And God called the firmament of heaven, and in the evening and the morning were the second day. Verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. Notice in verse 8 that we just read, the firmament is called what?
Heaven.
Is that uppercase, lowercase?
Upper.
Uppercase.
Now in verse 9, you move down into the first heaven. The first heaven is the atmosphere around the earth. It is the heavens where the birds fly and the clouds are in. Okay, that's what you see out there. There are, how many heavens have we walked through already? If this is the first, where's the second?
Out of space.
Where's the third?
Where God lives.
That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
It really is. How many stories were there on the ark?
Already.
That's amazing. It really is. There are three heavens. The first heaven, the atmosphere around the earth that we just said. The second is the heavens of the universe, the starry heaven, what we call space. And the third is where God lives. God does have a dwelling place in the universe. He's not out there just running rampant because Satan is the God, is Prince Power of the Air, you know, that type of thing. God is God, and he's sitting on the throne. Jesus Christ is there with him, okay? Verse 9 and 10. And God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas, and God saw it was good. Now, if you've gotten down through the first heaven, Psalms 115 and Colossians chapter 1, Psalms 115, 16 says, the heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of who?
Men.
Who's the earth given to?
Children.
Who's the heavens, and even the heavens are who? God put man on where? The earth. There are no men in the other parts of the universe. Contrary to what you may believe, men are not from Mars, and women are not from Venus. I was looking at December 20th of the 4th. When dawn comes up, you look in the southwest sky, and you're going to see a crescent moon, and you're going to see Mercury, and then Venus, as close as they can ever be. For a while. And a lot of people's calling that a trinity. Look, there's a trinity. There's the stars and all that stuff. But I was thinking about Mercury, and I thought it said Mars. So I'm like making comparison how God said it's man then woman in the structure of spiritual. And if men was from Mars and women from Venus, he still has Mars above the women, but it's Mercury. But who is Mercury? When he a god from Rome or a Greek god or something like that, he was a god. I mean, to them. I better move on before I get caught up in something. God put them on Earth, and the area in the second heaven belongs to some other creatures. You got to remember all the hosts. When we get to it, the hosts are out there. And you get a lot of information about the heavens before you get to Apostle Paul, but it all focuses on what is happening on the earth. And you get a lot of details about the structure of the universe until you get to Paul. You don't get a lot, because what is Paul's message in Romans to Philemon, 13 books out of 66 books. What is Paul's message, and where is he looking at?
Heaven.
The heavens. And now you're finding out more about the heavenly purpose than you do the earthly purpose. And there's a reason for that. It's being manifested through Paul. And Paul talks about the heavenly people. That's who you are. Your wealth, your riches are not in this world. They will take that from you. It's a proven fact. We used to play a game, Sunset Riders, little video game, little cowboy shoot 'em up. And there's one guy, you had it, and you, bury me with my money. You know, that type of thing. There's people that have been buried with their money because they don't want to give it up. There's people so entrenched in this world and trying to gain wealth and stuff in the world. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. You know that. You're going to have to eat. That you're going to have to be plucked up twice to get you out of here, and they're saved. Saved individuals. But the heavenly purpose is being manifested through Paul. But now the focus is on the creation in heaven as well as the earth in Paul. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible. Can you see stuff that here in the earth? It's visible, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Got your eyes open. And invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and who?
For him.